It's time for Dirt and Sprague.
I've never been on live television before, but apparently sometimes I don't watch the news.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Because I'm a kid, and apparently Grandpa just gives me the remote after we watch the Powerball.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
We'll probably sit around and cook some soups and eat bread and desserts and just get all fat and sassy.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two. It's fat and happy season here on The Fan.
What do they call it? Cuffing season?
Cuffing season is what the kids and Joe call it.
He's like snuggle up on the couch and watch some Netflix. That's the reasoning behind it, right?
You got yourself a bae?
No, I don't.
But come on, Joe.
I saw a pretty funny tweet last night. Do you notice all the disparaging tweets about men are going down at this point of the year? It's because Christmas is around the holidays.
You got to pair off for the holidays.
Christmas is around the holidays.
Yeah, Christmas is around the corner. Holidays are around the corner, I should say. But yeah, you don't see the mean tweets from women about men being pigs and everything because, you know, it's time of the year where they need to be nice.
Joe, random question. Do you remember the time you were on our show and you gave us a stat and it was wrong and you had to go look it up?
Oh, yeah, I think once. Actually, during Stat or Story, which we have later today.
That's what it was. It was Stat or Story. He gave us a number and we guessed. He said we got it wrong and he went back. He goes, actually, like, that's not the number.
My bad. I screwed that one up.
Oh, math. Since I left school, my math, like mental math, has gone way down. I'm pretty sure I gave the wrong like point total spread in the
you want to talk about
game.
Math?
It's like,
my
man.
Fourth grade nephew asked me the other day to help him with a math problem. They were doing inverse operations.
Yeah, you lost
me. What the hell is that? I don't remember anything about inverse operations.
Is that with like fractions
Sounds
or
like
something?
A military exercise.
Yeah.
How'd you capture the guy? It was an inverse operation.
Why are you that now? It was an inverse operation.
That's right.
Yeah. I got through it, but I did not help him learn inverse operations. We got through it another way.
I would say, go talk to somebody else. Go find somebody else's help on this one, buddy.
No, my honest initial reaction was, hey, I'm doing inverse operations. Can you help me? I said, is that PEMDAS? He didn't know what I was talking about.
He didn't get that reference.
It was way over my head, but we figured it out. All right, we have a lot we're going to get to here in the second hour. Okay, so we went way over the clock, so of course we screw ourselves. The Blazers, 8-3.
They are 8-3, 11 games in.
Can they be a second round team? Are they different for you right now? Way too early, but are they different for you maybe than last year?
Here is the tough part, I think, about gauging where Portland is and where their season could go. They have looked better than I thought they would coming into the season. They are off to a better start than I thought that they would get off to at the beginning of the season. The bench guys have played well. Stauskas has... He's not an every night performer, but he's had a couple of moments here or there. Evan Turner has really evolved his role coming off the bench, and he had another great night last night with 16 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists, and no turnovers. He was a plus 21 coming off the bench and running that kind of point forward unit that we used to see Nick Batum do. And I think that you finally have that fit figured out. And then the development of Zach Collins to me has been a major positive this year. A guy who, when you look at some of the defensive efficiency ratings in the NBA, he's up there with the best centers in the league, which is kind of mind-boggling for a guy that's only in his second year, and he still has a long ways to go to develop. So there are a lot of positives to point to, I think, early on in the season. What is keeping me from diving headfirst in, and we had a listener that was jumping off the cliff with you, so you're not alone in this.
Let's go, baby.
I have seen this from a lot of people, which is it makes me smile. The reason I'm holding back for it is a couple. One, how many times have we seen this and it's been fool's gold?
Well, we're 11 games into an 82-game season.
Sure.
Sure.
This is the third. I mean, you go back 3 years ago, them beating the Clippers in the first round, got everybody over their skis. That, you know, a lot of that had to do with injuries. 2 years ago, it was the Nurkic acquisition, Nurk fever, and that was going to set things off. Well, not quite. Last year, it was a 13-game winning streak. Here we go. 3 seed. Boom. You get swept. First team in a long time to have that happen to you in the league. So that's one of the main reasons I'm hesitant. The other, though, is that I do look at three of your quality wins this year. You have to state a fact. They have come against teams without their best player. Mm-hmm. You beat New Orleans without Anthony Davis. You beat Minnesota without Jimmy Butler. And you beat Houston without James Harden. Not saying you don't win those games that those guys are playing, but that would be a lot more of an impressive 8-3 start if those three guys were in the lineup. And the other aspect of it, I think right now when you look at the landscape of the West, you can make the case that you're trying to make. But what's Houston going to look like at the end of the year?
Right.
What's New Orleans going to look like at the end of the year? Where's Jimmy Butler going to go? What team is he going to land on? Or does he stay in Minnesota and they go kumbaya? Utah's not playing great basketball, but they still have a ton of talent. Denver's off to a good start. San Antonio will get better in my mind as the season goes on with DeRozan playing his first year with Popovich. So I think the landscape of the West looks so murky 11 games in. That's why a lot of people are like-minded like you. But I don't think the West is going to look like this all season.
Okay, do you have the standings in front of you, yes or no? No, don't get them. If you don't have them, don't get them.
No, I don't.
I'm not trying to call you out. I'm just genuinely curious.
Sure.
Because I know we've been so wrapped up with football season.
Mm-hmm.
Can you name all the Western Conference teams right now in the top eight?
I know Golden State's number one. I know Denver's number two. I believe Portland is number three. I want to say the Spurs are probably number four with three or four losses, somewhere in that range.
Yep.
The Kings might even be in the mix. I think the Pelicans are out of the playoffs. The Rockets are currently out of the playoffs. The Lakers are currently out of the playoffs. The Jazz might currently be out of the playoffs. So I want to say the Clippers are towards the back end of the top eight. Who else am I missing?
I'll just give them to you. Those are great guesses. Clippers are fifth. Kings are sixth.
I know the Kings are
off to a good start. I know the Grizzlies are in there.
Grizzlies are eighth, and OKC is seventh.
OKC is a team.
Three of those last four teams are not going to be
in. Well, and that's what I'm saying, though. And three of the four teams that are out of it, like the Lakers are going to figure this out. It's LeBron. We're doing the panic thing. It's LeBron. They're going to be in the playoffs. Houston to play without James Harden, the mix of Carmelo Anthony hasn't worked early. They're going to figure it out. The regular season doesn't mean as much to them as it did last year. Utah still has a ton of talent, and I expect them to get better as the year goes on. So, yeah, I mean, you're going to get Sacramento and Memphis and teams like that probably falling out of the playoff picture. Who knows about the Clippers? Maybe they're better than people expected. But when there's 71 games to go, a lot can change.
Diving right in.
Do it, man.
Realistic scenario where it could happen. Don't care if I'm wrong. We'll talk about that at the end of the year.
You won't get made fun of until like May.
Well, we're going to Bend this weekend. We leave Friday. We usually get back, or not you and I, but like the wife and I usually leave after like a breakfast. We'll just head out, get home.
On Sunday morning, yeah.
I'm going to go to that game Sunday night. I'm going to probably be a little hungover and tired.
They got Boston coming to town.
Boston's coming to town, and then they hit the road for about 10 or 11 days.
Don't also overlook the Clipper game on Thursday night. I know the Clippers they're not in that same category, but they're playing good basketball to
start
the year.
They're not bad.
Yeah.
But that Celtics game is another big test for them at home before they hit the road.
Sure is.
All right, let's go to Major League Baseball, because we were told yesterday by an MLB reporter that your Seattle Mariners might be quitting. We'll explain more next on The Fan. I've been in the right place, but it must have been a wrong
time. I'd have said the right thing, but it must have used the wrong. This is Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. 118 on The Fan. Probably shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Was talking with an old friend of ours who is looking for a J-O-B. And he's kind of in the running down in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
He told me that... He thinks that the Oakland A's are going to have a stadium announcement by the end of the year or early in 2019.
They need something, and they need it soon. So,
but like,
that's
not like
news.
We're looking at a site. It's right. Like an announcement that it's happening.
It's been so drug out for so long that I think that would be great news for Major League Baseball, and it'd be great news for other markets too. I know some fans here wanted Oakland ultimately to move up to Portland, which it seemed like an ideal fit. But the good news there for Portland is that as soon as Oakland settles their situation, and if that's true and they announce this ballpark in the coming months or at the beginning of the year, then you can move your focus to Tampa and say, all right, where are the Rays at? Can we find that location down there? Do they need to move? What's the situation with them? Those are the only two dominoes you're kind of waiting to fall in Major League Baseball in order to get to expansion, which is what a lot of people thought was initially going to come to Portland when this whole MLB to Portland thing was brought up.
Yeah, so we'll see if that person knows what they're talking about, but they told me last night that stadium announcement is coming, that they're ready to be in Oakland forever. And
my sense is that if that's the case, then it's the Coliseum.
That they just renovate the Coliseum?
That's my sense, is that they'll renovate it. They ran into a lot of roadblocks with the Howard Terminal site. Could be wrong on that. That's just kind of guesstimating at what's happening down there. But
can they renovate in time for a new year?
Like, see, and that I haven't dug into it enough to know what the plan would be in the meantime and where they would play in the meantime. If you could do it in an off season, the weather down there would be accommodating. I think some places it's a little bit tougher, but down there you would be able to work year round on trying to fix up that ballpark. But I don't know if it's a full tear, if it's a key arena, or if it's a complete teardown and rebuild at the current site.
All right, well, let's stay in baseball because I saw this yesterday. We didn't dive into it. Jeff Passan, who now works at, I think, ESPN, right? Didn't he get hired by ESPN? He's going to start there soon?
I believe so.
He's at Yahoo, but he'll be at ESPN. He tweeted this: the Mariners, according to sources, are considering a full-fledged teardown this winter. If trade market is strong, they've told teams they're willing to move just about anyone. And if that happens, they have indicated they're willing to wait a few years to build a competitive team again. Now, blowing things up in Seattle is subject to return. Gene Segura's no trade would need to be worked around. Return for Mitch Hanover, James Paxton, and Edwin Diaz would need to be massive. But Mariners are in that awful no man's land where they're good, but not good enough. By the way, Haniger, sorry. I read his tweet word for word. It's Haniger. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think that makes Mariner fan feel good, but Jeff Passan saying they could be ready to be tanking.
This was interesting to me. And it really is, that's got to be a tough sell to Mariner fan, right? This is a team that's gone through the longest playoff drought in all of professional sports currently. What, 17, 18 years, whatever it's at
17.
Right now? 17 years. And if you commit to a full teardown and rebuild, you are looking probably at the bare minimum of another 3 or 4 years, maybe a peak a little bit earlier like Atlanta did. You know, Atlanta made the playoffs this year earlier than people thought that they
could. That was 4 years.
But that was 4 years. That's what I'm saying. You're looking at least 3 or 4 years, and who knows, it could be longer than that if you don't hit on a couple of these prospects and draft picks. And so you're looking at a stretch of 20-plus years of not being able to sniff the postseason, and I think that's a tough sell. This isn't what I would do if I were in Seattle. It isn't. Part of it is that just the fan reaction to it. You already struggle with attendance numbers, and I can't imagine how few people will go to Mariner games if you go through with this and put a crappy product on the field for the next 3 or 4 years, and you got a really, really low payroll. And I don't agree with the situation that Seattle is necessarily stuck in no man's land. Like, the roster as constructed, sure. That's probably not a team that's good enough to win a World Series, but are there pieces there that you could then add to get over the hump? That would be my initial response and my reaction if I'm, you know, or my thought process if I'm the Seattle GM. They won 89 ball games last year. That's a pretty decent year. They got caught by Oakland, who had one of those dream seasons that they do every now and then. And if not for Oakland coming out of nowhere, Seattle is the second wild card team, and they're playing a one-game playoff at Yankee Stadium. If they play in a different division that doesn't have Houston, they're only 2 games behind the Cleveland Indians. Nobody's saying the Cleveland Indians need to tear down and rebuild. They won 91 games. That's only 2 more than what Seattle won this year. They didn't go out and address starting pitching last year. That's what ultimately cost them and faltered late in the season. So if you want to try and move some of these big contracts, I think that's smart. If you want to try maybe, you know, offset a couple of bats and bring in a couple of arms, Kyle Seager doesn't have a good deal and he's not performing anymore. Like, I get there are tinkers and moves that you want to make here, but there's some big time starting pitching on the open market. And if last year was any indication, teams aren't throwing a ton of money around anymore. Like, if you could go get a Patrick Corbin to add to your rotation, Dallas Keuchel is a free agent, you could add him to your rotation, and you pair that with James Paxton with Edwin Diaz on the back end, I don't think this is an awful team that completely needs a rebuild, and I think I would be pretty frustrated if I were a Mariner fan.
You know, I didn't think about, because I think once they had really succumbed to the hot play of Oakland, I kind of stopped paying attention. I'm not a diehard Mariner fan.
They ended up 8 games behind the A's in the standings.
But I didn't know they were the next team in if, well, you said Oakland, right? If Oakland didn't make it.
Or Tampa, I guess, had 90. So they would have been 1 game
behind
Tampa.
Okay, so
they're
right there.
But the race would have been different in September because they fell out of it and there was nothing to play for.
Well, but how different is that team if they have pitching?
Right, if you add one more starting pitcher to that
team.
James
Paxton was a stud.
Right.
You put one more arm on that.
That's
Edwin Diaz was the best closer in baseball.
Right.
And your hitting was actually not bad. Right. I mean, Gene Segura had a good year. I know Cano had the suspension, but D. Gordon played well. You had some good players this year. So I'm kind of with you there. It is tough to go full rebuild, but we've also seen success that way, right? Like, Houston in their own division won a World Series doing it. You mentioned Atlanta. I don't know if Atlanta will duplicate and get back, but they got to the playoffs a year early, and they have some young studs. Maybe they just view the landscape of baseball, and they say, you know what? We're not shelling out money. We're not Boston. We're not New York. We're going to go the route of rebuild that
way. And that's the interesting part, though, is they have shelled out money. They have been willing to go pay guys and spend. They have money to spend. They gave that deal to Robinson Cano.
But they spent the money dirt, and they haven't even been to the playoffs.
I know, which is frustrating. But they haven't gone out and made the extra move that they needed to. Like, you can't just make it and then stand pat and think everybody. It reminds me of some of the stuff that the Blazers have done, of just standing pat and thinking that things are going to change, and maybe this year's different for Portland. But that's the same frustration that I have with them. Like, I think there are not every rebuild is created equal. Like, Houston was a team that was in a World Series a decade ago. They are a team that had been to the playoffs off and on. They're a team that moved leagues. It was kind of an interesting and unique situation. Atlanta is a team that had an unprecedented level of success in the 90s. I know they only had the one championship, but they won division title after division title. Even after that, they were still in the postseason in, 2010, 2012, 2013. Like, they made the playoffs a handful of times, and they just kind of finally thought, all right, we've knocked on the door enough. Let's tear this thing down and rebuild. And they've just simply happened to hit. So the best way to build a long-term successful team is, yes, tearing it down and getting a bunch of draft picks. But that's a really difficult sell to a fan base who is already on the fringe of trying to support your team. And I think there's an example out there of a team that kind of did this. Like, if you're going to go full rebuild, you got to go full rebuild. You can't just trade one or two pieces and then say, let's see where the chips fall. A team that did that last year was Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh traded away Gerrit Cole in the offseason to Houston, and they traded away Andrew McCutchen to the Giants, and they got a couple of nice little prospects out of it. Then next thing you know, nobody expected this, but down year for Pittsburgh, they're not going to be any good. Next thing you know, they're in the playoff chase.
They started really well, yeah.
And they had to go out at the deadline and give up prospects to go get Chris Archer from Tampa. So they had like the one foot in the water of let's rebuild, but then they started winning, so then the other foot was in the water of let's be competitive, and imagine that rotation if you had Gerrit Cole and Chris Archer as your number one and number two starter. But because they didn't fully dive in, now they're again stuck in that middle ground. I would like to see Seattle go for it one or two more times. Like, because the last 2 years you've seen Boston and Houston win when they were the juggernauts all regular season, we feel like now in baseball you have to be this juggernaut to win a championship. That's not the case. Kansas City wasn't a juggernaut. The Giants were never a juggernaut when they won. Like, there's a lot of teams that come out of nowhere and find a way to win a championship. You get in the dance, you got good enough starting pitching, and you can go do it.
Yeah, somebody texted in, attendance was up last year. Old Seager, Cano, and Felix didn't really contribute. Get a younger third baseman and starting pitching. Paxton, Segura, Gordon, and Diaz are cornerstones. Damn this team. Somebody else says they also did get caught by the Rays, so that's cause for concern.
They did. But again, I think part of that was they didn't have much. I mean, they were 8 games behind Oakland in September. Like, you're not having the same sense of urgency you would as if that was a playoff chase.
Another listener says, what do you mean the Mariners struggle with attendance? They are 14th most recently and always in the 10 to 14 range. Let's see another one. This one from P1 Patrick. The Mariners might not be in the wrong with this move, but they are still the most infuriating team in Major League Sports. Fans are better, and I'm done with them. .. 141 days until opening day. Go Mariners.
Sure, maybe the numbers behind their attendance is fine. Last year there was an uptick, but let's not act like they packed that stadium night in and
tanking,
night out.
Tanking in baseball is clearly a thing, but the one thing I don't understand, you can tank but not give up all your pieces.
The Braves did this. They never traded Freddie Freeman.
No. They paid him a $100 million contract, and he stuck around.
You're our guy. We're going to build around you.
Like, I don't understand why you'd want to get rid of Edwin Diaz right now. Why do you want to get rid of Segura?
See, now, then the tough part
those are good. Right. Well, Segura is a great two-way player, and Diaz, again, best closer in baseball. Sure. They only have a lifespan that's so long, but damn, man.
The tough part about that is there are ways to accelerate a rebuild, and that is trading guys like that because you can get prospects in return.
Would anybody take Cano?
I mean, sure. If Matt Kemp's contract can get traded, yes, somebody will take him. But the question is, how much value are you getting in return? Like, you can find people to probably offload Cano and Seager to, but how much value are you getting in return? So then you would go with the rebuild of just your own draft picks.
Yeah,
takes longer to do.
I don't know what you get. I get rid of Cano and Seager. I'm keeping everybody. I'm re-signing Cruz.
Yeah, Nelson Cruz hasn't been
Cruz
resigned.
Cruz deserves
yet.
To be resigned. Re-signed, that's for sure. So Jeff Passan of Yahoo and ESPN reporting that the Mariners could be going full tank mode and selling off all their pieces. Let's go to the National Football League. A lot of movement, a lot of things going on. We'll give you an update on what to expect this Sunday, Thursday, and Monday in the NFL next. But first, Joe with a sports update.
Never been as broke as me. I like that. When I was young, I had two male leads. Besides that,
this is Dirt and Spray on 1080 The Fan.
I'm throwing tigers on my shirt and alligators. You want to see the inside? I see you later. Here come the drama. Oh, that's that with the fake. Wow. Why you punch me in my face?
Hey, welcome back in 135. Happy Wednesday to you. We got some giveaways coming up in the final hour of the show. What else we got coming up? Statter Story at 215. How about Zion Williamson and his debut performance last night?
Might be the most impressive.
That guy's good.
True freshman I've seen.
There's my hot take.
In years. I mean,
you're going to go that far. Most impressive true freshman in years, huh?
In terms of a debut?
I mean, I can't remember all the debuts of guys.
KD's like whole year at Texas was okay. Like,
I feel
he was
like
good,
Bagley had a pretty dominant debut last year.
They
for
broke both him and Barrett broke his scoring debut.
Yeah,
most points he had most points for a freshman in their first game for Duke all time at 25. Mm-hmm. Both of them scored over 25 last night.
It's nice to it's always nice to remind yourself how much you hate Duke and only took one day in the college basketball season.
Well, here's the thing, I do hate Duke. I love watching him play.
You're gonna hate watch that team all year. You have to. They're too entertaining.
I asked our boss this because he's a Duke guy. Can you name, I don't think this has ever happened. I think they have the first two picks in the NBA draft on their team. Now, the closest I came to finding that ever in NBA history was Vince Carter and Anton Jamison.
At North Carolina.
Fourth and fifth in the 98 draft. That was the closest I got. Nobody else has done that.
Hmm. Yeah, I'll have to dig into the history of that. That is because they could.
That Duke team could disappoint. They will still be the first two picks in the draft.
Right.
They're
right.
19 years old, and they're super freaky athletic.
Well, R.J. Barrett might even be better than Williamson, but Williamson came in with more hype because of all the dunks and stuff, and I think people wanted to see, is he an actual basketball player? And then you saw that last night. We'll get into that a little bit in the final hour. We do have some NFL news or notes to get to. There's a lot going on in the National Football League. Can you hit me with some NFL music, Joe? We got any music in the system? The first one that we've been waiting for this all year, and it finally happened. Dez Bryant is back in the National Football League.
Yes, he is. Everybody told us that signing Dez was toxic, not good for your locker room. Oh, look at all these teams. Nobody wants Dez and that personality. And then maybe the best team in football said, yeah, we'll take him.
So a little antidote for that. Once he got cut back in April, I like retired his jersey. I hung it up in my house and I was like, you know what? It will stay there until he signs with a new team. Wow. It's been up for 7 months.
Wait, where did you hang it up? Like on the wall?
Yeah, just like next to my TV, just kind of on
in your
display
living
there. Yeah, just right there.
Joe's just got
any ladies back to your apartment?
A couple, yeah.
They're looking at that like,
oh,
what?
Super judgy. Yeah, they're like, looks like a sports bar in here. Like, hey, single male, what do you
hey,
want?
It's my place.
But I finally get to take that jersey down now after 7 months.
Got a Dez Bryant jersey hanging in the living room. That's awesome.
Gonna pack it up, throw it in the box now.
Yeah, so he signs. He's gonna be a New Orleans Saint. What does this do? Does this add to New Orleans Super Bowl chances for you?
It doesn't change it much, but I will say there's going to be a game or two if he stays on the roster where he's going to come up big for them because he's not going to get all the attention. It's going to be Michael Thomas continuing to get the attention.
Does he create a problem?
Well, did we say this when they were winning? It seemed to only be a storyline. Well, one, because it's Dallas.
I can't remember.
Two,
you'd have to check with Joe. I can't remember on that.
When
one.
They were disappointing, it was a big deal. When they were a good team and in the playoffs, I never felt like I heard about it as much.
Does he get pissy if he doesn't get the ball?
No. I think he understands this is his shot. Okay. If he can't last with the Saints, he's cut within 2 weeks.
Yeah, he's done.
Who's giving him a contract next year?
Well, and he's got a chance to parlay this, too. I mean, if he plays well and he's content in the locker room, it's not a big deal. Like, he's not going to get a big contract, but maybe next year a team's more willing to throw a couple of shekels at him.
Yep.
So, something to keep an eye on. But Dez Bryant, he's back in the NFL. He signed with New Orleans. And the long-awaited, where will Dez go? One-year deal. New Orleans Saints. How about this one? Where are you guys at on the Le'Veon Bell story? Are we tired of this one yet? Is it like funny, entertaining? How do we feel about Le'Veon Bell?
I just think of all the fantasy owners. Just every time I see a news update,
I'm sure
they're ripping the hair out of their heads. They are so frustrated.
I've been tired of the Le'Veon Bell story all year. but I understand why it doesn't die.
Well, let me try and throw this curveball at you, because I am with you, but then I really enjoyed this tidbit. So he tweeted a couple of days ago, like, see you later, Miami, whatever it was, his cryptic tweet, and everybody's like, oh, where's he going? Well, he's shown up, and he's in Pittsburgh. He was spotted playing hoops in an L.A. fitness.
He's killing time. I'm telling you, he's not going to be there till next week.
What if he gets hurt playing hoops at L.A. Fitness?
That doesn't change if he shows up, he gets the tag.
I know he does, but isn't that the whole point of not playing this year is because you want to stay healthy to get that long-term contract?
Now, where Pittsburgh...
So, like, what if you roll an ankle or something?
This is where Pittsburgh has an interesting decision to make. So, in the hypothetical realm, because of how well James Conner has played, there was a story I was reading that the Steelers could actually tag him for less money. That they don't have to go up in value with him.
Okay.
Now, I don't know how that all works with free agency. I know if he reports, and the reason he would report before a certain deadline is because he wants to be a free agent. But
right.
Pittsburgh could still tag him if he didn't. What was it? Either shows up late or he shows up at a certain time. They can tag him for less. And somehow, some way, try to keep both.
Okay. Well, he said LA Fitness hooping it up. Videos surfaced to him running around playing some pickup basketball at an LA Fitness. He's in Pittsburgh at least, so at least he's in the general vicinity. He's just not at the facility.
See, you're stuck between a rock and a hard place here. You're a Steeler fan in Pittsburgh, but damn, you want to go at Le'Veon playing pickup ball.
You do, but you also want him back, don't you?
Like, I would think so.
If he puts you over the top and you win with him this year, you're not going to hate Le'Veon Bell.
Well, how does he fit into the fold if he does get playing time? Do you just sit James Conner?
I think you go 1-2 back. But let's not pretend like Le'Veon Bell is – he might be the best running back in all of football. Like, what that guy does in the running game and the passing game, he brings a different dimension to that offense. James Conner has been great. I don't want to take anything away from him.
Yeah, I don't like that people have dismissed Le'Veon's how much value he has
the impact,
because Connor has had a good year.
Right. He does a lot more in the passing game, that's for sure. So Le'Veon Bell back. He's pooping at an LA Fitness. Sam Darnold, he threw 4 picks last week. He's not going to play this week, Kim. He hurt his right foot, sprained his right foot against the Dolphins, so he's considered week to week, but they have announced he's a no-go this weekend. Josh McCown, who has yet to play a snap all season, he's going to get the start against the Bills at MetLife Stadium.
And somehow you're more confident in the Jets -7 versus Buffalo.
Joe, am I crazy for loving the Jets -7.5?
Not at all, because they're playing the Bills, and I don't know if you heard, but someone created a GoFundMe page to help Nathan Peterman retire. Raise money for Nathan Peterman's retirement.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill, or hey, Joe, how much, I was going to say the Bills, how many wins do the Jets have?
I think they have the one against the Browns, and then they beat someone else, the Broncos. They blew out the Broncos earlier this year, so they have at least 2, and I think it's only 2.
The Jets Lions haven't beaten the Browns.
They lost to the Browns. They beat the Lions on opening night. They have 3 wins this year. We went over this yesterday.
That's right.
I just want to see what Joe knew, because Joe said it in the same confidence that you did, and I don't think he knows anything about the Jets.
So I got the team wrong, but yeah, they won opening week against the Lions. And
the
then
Jets
they blew
are not a good football team.
And
I'm losing my mind here. What's going on?
Hey, McCown, it's not that big of a drop-off from Darnold to McCown, and before McCown got injured last year, he actually made some pretty impressive throws. Almost beat the Patriots last year.
He started 13 games last year. He had 18 touchdowns, 9 picks, completed 68% of his passes.
McCown had some plays last year where I was like, who the hell am I watching? It's not a bad pick.
How many wins did they finish with McCown?
Oh, probably 5 or 6.
How many games did they win last? I think they were like 7-9.
But
they
he
last
got
year?
Injured towards the end
of
the year.
7-9.
Weren't they slightly better last year? Hold on.
Yeah, he got injured towards the end of the year, and they lost their last 4.
Apologies, 6-10.
Did you see the other little headline from last night? So the NFL does their, like, mic'd up audio on Tuesdays. Did you see the story people were trying to create? This is why people don't like the media. So I see this headline. I go, oh, I click it.
This is juicy.
Bill Belichick not so positive on Aaron Rodgers on the sidelines during their game.
Oh,
what's he say? They caught him on the sidelines talking to the defense, saying, hey, we're going to get a pick. He's lobbing him up there. We're going to get a pick. That was all he said. They made it seem like Bill Belichick just trashed Aaron Rodgers talking to his defense.
Yeah.
He can't move. He's a bum.
Yeah.
He was lobbing some passes, but they were perfect.
They were well. Good
so
touch.
Bill's point's not, it's not sure. moot. Like, go sure. up and make a play. But yeah. they tried to make that sound like Bill Belichick was just crapping all over Aaron Rodgers. And I got to the audio and I'm like, what? Come on. Fake news.
There you go. All right. One last one. Brock Osweiler also going to start this weekend. Ryan Tannehill's still out with an injury. His fifth straight game he's going to miss.
I was watching a little bit of that Get Up show at the gym, and I want to say it was Ryan Clark. They were doing pretenders and contenders. Green Bay, pretender. Minnesota, pretender. Philly, pretender.
Whoa.
Houston, contender.
Wow. That's a hot take for
you. I didn't
you.
Get to hear his reasoning, but I just saw that as I was lifting, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, I don't want to hear the reasoning for that.
If we watched Houston, they have survived. They haven't been winning.
We know who they've beaten this year. There you go, some NFL news and notes. Let's get into that Zion Williamson kid, man. That was nuts last night. Did you watch? How impressed were you? And then where is that going to rank for people? Like, when was the last time? You can chime in with this 55305, better you today, text line. When was the last time you had a can't-miss college hoops team? That you just like, oh, dude, they're on. We got to watch this game. Because for me, it's been a while.
Can you? I want you to think about this. What sure. was the last team you have this for?
Yeah, and is Duke that this year? Crunch time next on The Fam.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 a month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. I was out at the Glorious House of Gaines today.
Let's go!
I needed that one. We haven't had that guy in a while.
Let's go!
We need to go find the last video he's done.
Yeah, if you don't know who that guy is, he's like a meathead that does like fake rant videos. They're actually really funny, though.
He wears like a bandana, yeah, like right above his eyes.
He films himself really close in the car, and he like talks about gains and stuff. It's a pretty funny little shtick right there. Hey, we'll get to the evolving nature of sports coming up top of the hour. Statter story, some poll questions to answer, lots still to come. Last night, though, we had a chance to watch Duke for the first time, and they took on Kentucky. It was number 4 versus number 2, and usually this time of year, we talk very little college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, basically the entire year, we talk very little college basketball.
And in the tournament, we tell you how we know so much about right. seeds 1 through 16.
Just pulling it out of my rear end. But this game happened last night, and the reason we're talking college basketball is because, holy hell, Duke looks unbeatable. There's my hot take of the day. That's an undefeated team right there. They were so dominant last night. They beat Kentucky 118-84, and shockingly, it felt like it wasn't even that close.
Yeah,
you had the two freshmen for Duke just going off. Zion came in his debut, 11 of 13 from the floor, 28 points, 7 rebounds. He hit the only three that he took. R.J. Barrett, who will probably be the number one pick, he had 33 points, 13 of 26 from the floor, 4 rebounds, 6 assists. They shot 54% from the floor and put up 118 in a college basketball game.
Okay, so one, they will not be undefeated.
Somebody's going to beat them.
I think Virginia could win that conference.
Not Virginia.
The conference, not a tournament game, the conference. Virginia's a good regular season team.
How about that contrasting styles? Virginia's going to score like 40 points a game and Duke's going to average 125.
Zion and R.J. Barrett are going to have 16 points each and Duke finishes with 37 points.
Is there anything more? Is there any team that's more boring to watch in all the sports than Virginia?
Ooh.
Like, that's a legitimate question for me.
Wisconsin?
Football? Good one. Good one. Wisconsin's a good one.
They're never exciting.
I'll give you that.
Let's see what I can't think of a
like current. You could have like a Kentucky this year, but I'm thinking like over like a long period of time. Virginia's the same damn team every year.
Really, just Wisconsin is what comes to my mind.
That's a pretty fair comparison. Although that Taylor running back is better than anything Virginia's got going for it.
I'm trying to think of the NFL. I mean, we've had some teams. You could name, like, the Browns over the years
bad. But the Bills, are so comically bad, they're kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, I can only really think of Wisconsin in terms of success and just not a team you want to watch.
Right.
Wisconsin and Virginia are basically the same thing. Look, I don't think they're going to defeat it. they do look pretty damn good. And if those two kids can be smart enough to stay out of foul trouble, which is always a tough thing for a true freshman, I wholeheartedly buy them as a Final Four team. Not that that's like a super original opinion, because a lot of people laud them and like them going into the year, but they're the real deal. Zion Williamson is not just a guy who dunks.
Dude, he is like, he is unbelievably large. Isn't it weird when you look at him?
Who would you choose with the one pick, him or Barrett?
I mean, I would probably go Barrett.
Why?
There's more substance than sizzle.
Okay.
I've seen them both play one game, so there's my one game analysis on it.
So I think the thinking on this is,
I feel like RJ Barrett's the better basketball player and Zion's the better athlete.
I feel like your choices here, and this will kind of give him some praise, your choices here are, do you want Jason Tatum or Charles Barkley?
Fair. Right, I mean, right.
Do you lose with either pick?
No, you don't. Either way, you're going to be solid.
Because by I know Charles, the way he went out with Houston, like, he really was the, you know.
Are we thinking Zion's going to get fat
amount
down the road?
Of rebound.
I kind of hope Zion gets fat and he's just a good fat athlete.
Here's the thing. He has always looked like he's kind of fat anyway.
Yeah, he's bulky.
But I don't know if he is. I think he's got Ray Felton body.
Well, Ray Felton is fat.
No. Ray Felton was fat with Portland. Ray Felton has always kind of been built like he looks like he's fat, but he's not. He kind of has Chris Paul body, too. Chris Paul's got this. Chris Paul's super in shape, but he always looks like he's out of shape. He's got no muscle definition, but he's strong.
Right.
Like some guys, you know, they just don't show that they have muscle.
Sure. And then there's Myers Leonard on the other end of the spectrum.
No doubt.
Right.
Chiseled like a Greek god.
But not a good athlete.
The other thing about Duke, I was trying to think of teams that I can even put close to them of, I want to see.
You know, the first team that popped into my mind, and there's probably more that are recent. The Duke team that had Dunleavy, Boozer, Jay Williams. I want to say they were all on that same, like, 1998-ish?
Trajan Langdon.
Yeah, that Duke team. And I remember that team came to Portland. They came to Portland, and they played the Pilots at the Rose Garden. I remember going to that game.
Because it was a favor for Dunleavy to go to Duke.
Right, because he played 4 years, yeah. And that's his thing. If you play 4 years, you're going to get a game in their home state. So that one stuck out to me. The other one that I thought of, too, and we've gotten a lot of these, by the way, the Better You Today text line, a lot of running Rebels at UNLV. We're Can't Miss TV.
See, you got to think about it. That is 18, 10, I mean, you're talking almost 30 damn years.
30 years ago,
people are
late
saying
80s, early
since
90s,
they've had a team
right?
like this.
And the other one that we've gotten a lot of course, is the Fab Five.
Yeah.
It's when the Fab Five took over. That just was a Camp
in the
team.
90s, yeah.
One other more modern, recent team that had this for me was the 2009 Kentucky team that had John Wall. I pulled it up because I wanted
Cousins.
To make sure. John Wall, Cousins, Patrick Patterson, Eric Bledsoe, remember Darius Miller.
Davis wasn't on that team, was he?
No, because he played. He came the next year. He was
That's
a
right.
freshman.
And they won the title that year.
The next year, they won the title. Yeah. DeAndre Liggins, that team was stacked.
But did John Wall hype reach Zion hype?
No. It was the combo of John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins.
I think you got some teams. I don't want to act like there's been no teams to want to watch in college hoops. I know college hoops isn't everybody's cup of tea.
Also, Marty Lunin's Oregon Ducks. But that bad? No.
I'm going to, you know, I thought of.
Maybe it's some good years in Oregon, man.
I thought of Odin. The Heart of Redmond. Odin Conley.
Yeah, that was a good one, too.
That was a player you wanted to see because of how big he was. KD, you wanted to watch what he was, although Texas really wasn't that good of a team. And I'll give you a sneaky good one. Because of the hype surrounding him at an early age, USC with OJ Mayo. That was a really big deal.
That was one for you, huh?
That was one for me. He was on an ESPN feature story in eighth grade. And we had to wait 4 years from that point to even be able to watch him.
And I'm trying to remember that USC team had someone
it
else.
It had Taj Gibson.
Taj
OJ
Gibson,
Mayo.
That's who it was, yeah.
I think they ended up having 3 or 4 NBA players on that roster. And they were a very underachieving team because of their head coach, who his name, Tim Floyd, was garbage. But OJ Mayo was one of those for me. How about UCLA with Westbrook?
Kevin Love.
Aflalo, Kevin Love.
That's a pretty solid one.
Yep, that was a group you had to go watch, obviously, for the hometown connection as well. Jared Cunningham and the Oregon State Beavers in 2011.
I'll get the hell out of here.
You gave me Marty Lunin.
Marty Lunin went to an Elite Eight, okay?
Jared Cunningham was entertaining to watch.
Arsalan Kazemi, anybody?
Arsalan Kazemi.
I believe that
what
was
What about
in
the Riddenauer, Jackson, yeah, Fred Jones team?
That
those
team was awesome. So was the Brooks, Harrison, yeah. Bryce Taylor, Tawan Porter.
Well, that team was fun to watch for different reasons for me.
Tawan Porter was a blast to watch. That dude was 5'2", just making it rain all over the floor.
He had three earlobes. That was dope.
He did. His shorts went to his feet.
That team was fun to watch for me because I either thought that team was going to play well or incredibly disappoint on a massive scale. Now, they did have an Elite Eight run, so give them that. But
hating on the Ducks, as usual. Nice.
No, I like the Fred Jones teams. Those were fun.
By the way, on the draft status of guys, because you mentioned these guys.
What about the Roy Robinson teams, too? UW.
Yeah, they didn't. That one doesn't stand out a lot to me memory-wise.
See, you didn't have hype going in, but they were fun once you realized who and what they did.
People mentioned Wiggins and Embiid.
Oh, that's a good one.
They both played together, and they were both the number one pick, right? I think.
Well, you can't.
Embiid but was, different years. They weren't the same year, but they played together in college, and
yeah,
they were both
yeah,
not the
yeah,
same
yeah,
draft,
yeah.
but.
But I think Duke's going to have the first two picks this year at the same time.
Sure, sure.
One and two.
The other one was Kentucky. Deal said Anthony Davis and Kid Gilchrist went 1-2. Was Kid Gilchrist the second pick? I know he was high, but I can't remember if he was.
The Bobcats might have taken him second.
They could have, yeah. P1 Mr. Gunn wanted to know about Chris Webber, Jalen Rose, and Juwan Howard draft status.
Now, I don't know what the real possibility of this.
Hold on, give me a second. I'll look up these drafts. Give me
but
1 second.
Duke having three top three picks because they also got that Cam Reddish guy who went for 22 last night.
He's like a non-factor.
The third wheel,
okay,
basically.
What was the year? Right. Anthony Davis?
Anthony Davis would have been 2012 draft.
Yeah, bingo, bango, bongo. There we go. P1 deal hitting it. Kentucky had the first two picks. I totally forgot about
that's
that.
That's mind-boggling. And I believe a listener pointed out that Jay Williams and Dunleavy went 2-3.
Give me a second.
Coming out of Duke. We'll check those. But yeah, keep those ones coming. What'd you make of Duke last night? We'll read some thoughts on the other side. Better you today. Text line 55305.
I don't like that you poo-pooed UW. That was a really fun team to watch.
That team sucked. Crunch time brought to you by Crunch Fitness.
Put back dunk at NC State by Nate.
For a month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. Who was the white trash guy they had? The big...
Robert Swift?
No. He gelled his hair and it was
Brockman.
Blonde.
I'm thinking of Brock. Who is
oh,
the big
John Brockman?
John Brockman. Remember John Brockman?
He really wasn't with that group.
Okay.
They had a pretty boy big man.
With a little fluffy white hair.
I'll look up what
hair.
His name was, but he had blonde dyed hair and he gelled it every
okay.
game.
Well, what do you think? We'll get to that final hour statter story. We got some poll questions to answer. Also, the evolving nature of sports to look like this. Loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fam.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.